You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Tuesday, November 29th, and last week was Thanksgiving, and I didn't practice. I just didn't practice. I brought my Chopin book with me on the road. We went to visit my in-laws. And I did not practice. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, no practicing for me. And the thing that I am really proud of with that is that I didn't throw myself into a giant guilt trip about it. You know, it's so easy to really freak out when we even take a day off, or at least it is for me. And I just didn't practice. And now, after today's Tuesday, yesterday I practiced a little bit, today I practiced a little bit. I also taught a million lessons today, so I was around the piano all day. Everything got so much better. Like, I just swear, everything got so much better from taking, not an entire week off, but let's just call it taking a week off. So maybe there's some sort of profound lesson about that, about how I've been maybe being a little bit too hard on myself. Certainly I haven't been enjoying the process as much lately. I was starting to really feel kind of dragged down and bogged down and feeling like, oh, these etudes are really hard, which they are. That hasn't changed. But I feel like they got easier from me taking some time away. And I was thinking about the word break. You know, we just say that we're taking a break. I don't know if other languages use that same kind of slang, but it actually is kind of a horrible sound if you think about it. And so at the risk of sounding completely yoga and new agey, and of course I do have those proclivities a little bit, I kind of like to think about it as taking a breath instead, because it really just felt like I kind of recharged myself. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and actually play for you for a minute. This is going to be 25 number 5. Which I am trying to think of as being kind of funny. I was thinking about this piece a bit while I was not practicing, and I think it's hopefully is kind of witty and a little silly. There will be, I'm sure, a couple of memory holes, and there may be a little bit of yelling, but I want to give this a shot. Oops. No, that's right. It's 5-1. There we go. that was okay. You know, I actually got a little bit nervous playing that for you, which is good. I mean, that's partly what this podcast is for, is to give me little performance experiences that make me feel a little nervous. I played it in my office before I came home a couple hours ago and felt like I was really tapping into it being sort of funny and sprightly and joyful, and I guess sort of like the character Puck in Shakespeare, maybe, who I know can also be a little bit mean, so that might not be quite the right fairy to think about. And I didn't quite tap into that as much this time. You know, this part here. These things kind of sound like a truck, which they should not. I'm just going to work on them a little bit. One thing I think actually will help a little bit. So here I'm about to go into another little tangent. So one of the other things I was thinking about while I was not practicing over Thanksgiving, I don't know if I've mentioned it to you, but I'm going to be, hopefully, 99%, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be accepted. I'm going to be teaching a course next fall about turning stage fright into charisma on stage, which I'm really excited about because it's one of those things that I want to teach because I want to learn more about it. Like I have mostly dealt with my own stage fright and or continue dealing with it. We deal with it all the time. That's one of the points I'm going to make in the class. But I've been thinking a lot about what makes a performance that's just riveting and unforgettable. And one of the things I think is people being absolutely focused. And one of the ways in which people I think are absolutely focused is physically really focused in their bodies. So as I've been walking around in the world away from the piano, I've been just trying to be really aware of my body, like aware of where my shoulders are, aware of what part of my body I'm leading with as I walk. I have a tendency to hyperextend my knees, and so I've been trying really hard not to do that. And I've been just trying to sort of stand on both my feet and be present in my body. And one of the things that I think is going to help this section a lot, in fact, let me play it for you two ways now. I think I talked about this a little bit last week. So one of the things I think about with my body is you can sort of put your shoulders into your shoulder blades. You can kind of insert them in, or you can kind of let them be out. And I was actually thinking about this because I have a student who tends to really push her shoulders forward. And so I was talking to her about inserting her shoulder blades. And I thought, gosh, maybe that's something I could stand to do myself a little bit. You know, we always tell our students things that we need to hear. And so that might have been one of them. Anyway, so I've been sort of playing around with feeling where my shoulders are. Not to have them be locked in one place, but just to sort of have them be situated nicely in one place. Anyway, so if I have my shoulders kind of forward in the I'm a little bit stressed out and this piece is really hard way, which is the way I have them now, it's going to sound like this. So it's fine going up, and then it just doesn't work coming down. Like, these notes just don't even happen. So now I'm going to put my shoulder blades in, or my shoulders back into my shoulder sockets, kind of, and try it again. And this may not work at all, but we'll see if it's any better. Ah, see, it's totally better. Believe me that I can feel, it makes a huge difference. So I'm trying to just sort of think about my alignment. One of the other things I noticed is that when I sat down to practice yesterday after not playing for a week or so, I started with the winter wind, right? I'll play that in a second. So two things happened. One was I noticed immediately that after playing about a page and a half, that the back of my neck hurt after not hurting at all for, you know, 5 days. So, okay, this is not ideal, right? So obviously I'm doing something when I play the Winter Wind Etude that's making my neck hurt. So I thought, boy, I better really look at that. So I videotaped myself with my phone. I just sort of set it up so I could see it. Just thought, let me see what I'm doing. And then, of course, once I was videotaping myself, I was really conscious about what I was doing with my neck and trying to kind of keep it free. This is all basic Alexander technique stuff, by the way, if you're sort of wondering where some of this stuff about alignment and things comes from. The shoulder socket, shoulders in the socket is really more of a yoga thing, but the keeping the neck free is very much an Alexander technique thing. Anyway, so I videotaped myself, and because I was sort of more self-conscious and aware because I was recording myself, it wasn't as bad. But then the other thing that happened that was ridiculous, and I just am telling you about this so that I can be honest that it happened and get over it, and just as soon as I say it, I will be over it. When I watched the recording, I was so kind of fascinated by my utter lack of chin, like in my profile, that I wasn't paying attention very carefully, which A, means that I'm being too vain, and B, means that my playing was obviously really boring if it wasn't keeping my own interest in it. Instead, I was just going, oh, look, I have a chin, or I don't have a chin, rather. Anyway, okay, so I am admitting to my vanity, and I will get over it. I'm over it. Let me play a part of the Winter Wind Etude. One of the things I did notice, despite my vanity, ridiculous lack of concentration, was that I'm tending to really, really rush things, so it feels like it's just sort of a cascade. And I know that it's supposed to be a cascade, but I'd like to be a little more in control of it than I am. This is, of course, my old hobgoblin of rushing and not putting spaces between the notes enough. So that's something I need to work on in here, and I haven't done that yet, but I know that that's the direction I need to go. So let me try playing you the Winter Wind Etude, and I'm going to be aware of where my shoulders are, and I'm going to be aware of my head and hopefully not have it do strange neck things. And I'm going to try this from memory. This is 25 number 11, by the way. Clearly don't remember this. I need to learn the beginning. I keep on practicing it because I just go, oh, I can play the beginning. Obviously, I have not learned the beginning, but it's sort of, I think it's some form of an E7 chord, but I have no idea what the actual voicing is. Okay, make a note. Learn the beginning. No. That's not right. There's a thing. Ah, here we go, here we go, here we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was a little screaming in there. You know, I, as you heard, had some memory holes, and I also had a couple of places that are just sloppy and awful, and I did not pay attention through the whole way through to where my shoulder was. Interestingly, my right shoulder, and of course all those notes are on the right hand, is a little bit tired now after playing that and not thinking about where my shoulder was. So I think I'm on to something with this shoulder thing for me for this week for now. But even though there was the screaming and some of the messy spots and all that, I think you can hear if you've been listening week by week that it's getting better, like a little bit better. It's getting a little bit better. The first page and a half, which is the part that I can more or less play when I can play it, is feeling much better. It's not quite something that I can just sit down and dash off without having to work at it, obviously, but I can start to imagine that it might feel like that someday, which of course is what we want. I want these all pieces to be things that I can just sit down and play. I should also probably play you 25 number 3, because that's the other one that's been sort of on the front burner. This is the one that sounds like my toddler going. I'm just going to try it. This is also from memory. I guarantee you that some of the little details like accents and things are just not going to be in there because I didn't look at the score the whole time I was gone and haven't looked at the score at all today of this piece. So we'll just let the chips fall where they may. I'm going to think about where my shoulder goes. Although I may be busy figuring out what the notes are. Oh, and also I'm totally making up the ending because I just don't remember how it goes. So 25 number 3 with mostly 25 number 3. An impression of 25 number 3. Next phrase. This is the part where I start making it up because I'm not sure exactly how this it's sort of supposed to be here. I don't know what it does, but it's something like this. And it doesn't do it this many times. And then it does something like that. So my left hand does not feel great when I do this. So these are, of course, big jumps, and I really need to be turning so that I start sort of with the weight falling towards my thumb and then kind of go to the middle finger and then weight towards my pinky. So this is the rotation thing that I've been blathering on for so long about, you know, doorknob moving. I'm waving my hand in the air like you can see it, but it's basically like you turn a doorknob. So it's to the right and then it comes down to the left. And I think the place that's not quite working is that there's this little releasing point in between, right? So I'm here, and then I come back up to the top. And somehow, there's a place where I can release in between, and I'm not quite doing it. Of course, when I do it now, it feels fine. But when I do this, it's like I come down here like a ton of bricks, and I just sit there, and I don't quite release. So I need to look at that. I need to look at the left hand of this, which I know is nothing new. It's been bothering me, the left hand, the whole time. But I'm going to think about where my shoulders go, and I'm going to think about that rotation movement. I did reread the book A Soprano on Her Head by Eloise Ristad in the last week. This is a soprano on her own head, not somebody wearing a soprano on their head. Which maybe is obvious to you, but was not obvious to me before I read it the first time when I was in college. Anyway, it's actually a really wonderful book, and it's about sort of the way we can get in our own ways of our, in the way of our own learning and our own performing. But she, and it's written by a pianist. But so she mentioned working with one student in a master class, and I don't even remember what the instrument was, and it doesn't matter. It might have been a bowed instrument. But the person, she had the person wave her arm up in the air and then swing it around the other side. And, oh, it was a dancer. She was working with a dancer. So she's talking about how the dancer would wave the arm like all the way up over her head and then put it down and swing it up behind her, up over her head, and then back. So like making these big arcs. And that the dancer was saying she was really exhausted, that there were no places to take a break. But so the idea was that you can actually take a break at the moment where it changes direction. That's just this tiny little release point. And I think for me, that might be a really powerful idea, but I just haven't quite incorporated it. Also, by the way, when I'm demonstrating this to you, I'm totally cheating and doing something that's much easier than what Chopin wrote, except later in the piece he does it. But at the beginning, instead of it being this, which is actually not so bad, it's this. So it's two fingers, so it's basically the thumb and the third finger. So I can't have my weight all the way over to the thumb, or perhaps I can. Anyway, it's just trickier. I'm going to work on that, and hopefully it'll be better by next week. So those are the main things that I'm thinking about this week. My rock band, which is really sort of an indie folk rock, I don't know what we are. I play accordion, so that'll tell you a little bit about what style of music we play. Anyway, my band is playing our first show in D.C. this weekend. So if you happen to live in D.C. and you have any interest in hearing me play some songs on accordion, which I think are actually pretty fun, if I do say so myself, I'd love for you to come. It's going to be at the Tynan Coffee and Tea House on Friday, December, like 1st or 2nd or whatever that is, at 8 p.m. It's by the Columbia Heights Metro Station. And we are called the Gettysburg Pirate Orchestra. And if you Google us, you can find a little bit about us there. So I'm letting you know about that, a little bit of shameless self-promotion. And I'm going to finish up with a little bit of improv. This is going to be pretty free. I know I've been heading into the direction of jazz lately, but I'm backing off a little bit from that for right now, but not forever. But let me just play, see if I can play something simple and hopefully pretty. Thank you. So that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. You can visit my website and leave me comments and questions and find out more at playitagainswig.com. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes or now Stitcher. Thank you so much for being my practice buddy.